Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IFGL Refractories Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited. We are pleased to have with us the management being represented by Mr. Arasu Shanmugam, Director and CEO India, Mr. James McIntosh, Managing Director, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, the Chief Financial Officer. We will have the opening remarks from the management followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to the management, please.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the IFGL Refractories Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call. I hope you and your family and friends are in good health. Along with me on the call, we have our Director and CEO India, Mr. Arasu Shanmugam, Mr. Amit Agarwal, our CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded the results and presentation on the stock exchanges, and I hope everyone has had a chance to go through the same. FY25 has been another defining year for IFGL Refractories, a year that tested our resilience, challenged our capabilities, and at the same time, laid a solid foundation for our future. It was a year marked by both external headwinds and internal transformation, and I'd like to take a few moments to walk you through both aspects. We operated in a highly volatile and unpredictable overseas environment. Fluctuating steel prices, global inflationary pressures, and overall economic instability created significant headwinds across our subsidiary markets. We continue to invest in building our team and infrastructure to take all of this forward meaningfully. However, it's our expansion into new segments, scaling up recycling initiatives, and strengthening our domestic and overseas manufacturing footprint. Having the right people, capabilities, and systems in place is essential, and that continues to be a top priority for us. Amidst the global challenges, our financial performance demonstrated stability and resilience. On a consolidated basis, we achieved modest revenue growth of 1% for the full year, with EBITDA margins at 8.7% for the fourth quarter. Revenues grew by 13%, and margins stood at 8.2%. On a standalone basis, we delivered our highest-ever full-year revenue of 1,014 crores, marking an 11% year-on-year growth, with strong EBITDA margins of 14%. In quarter four, our standalone revenues increased by 26% to 273 crores, with margins at 15%. As many of you are aware, several international markets, particularly Europe, faced significant headwinds during the year. Our operations in Germany were among the most impacted, with weak demand in the foundry segment contributing to a subdued performance. The broader business segment in the region remains cautious. However, I want to highlight the efforts of our Hoffmann team, who, despite the downturn, remained focused on product development and technology upgrades. They have successfully identified new application avenues for our foundry products. While market conditions remain tentative, especially in Europe, we continue to monitor developments closely and take prudent, timely steps to ensure operational alignment and readiness for recovery. Turning to our U.S. operations, which experienced a decline primarily due to sluggish demand, we are now seeing early signs of a recovery. In recent policy direction from former President Trump, emphasizing Make in America and proposing tariff protections, it is expected to be positive for the domestic manufacturing and improve the steel production landscape. Moving to our UK operations, Sheffield Refractory showed tremendous resilience in its results in a difficult market, especially with British Steel, who are now a major customer. We are very confident Sheffield growth will continue to strengthen through new markets, opening a wider European mills. For Monacon, at the beginning of this year, we had a major management change with a view to reposition the company, especially in the research and technical side of the refractories, and over the coming months, we'll continue to develop the market penetration of new product development approaches. This, we view, is very exciting time for the company and have allocated a dedicated CapEx budget to drive upgrades, improve efficiencies and support business development efforts. Encouragingly, we are beginning to see initial signs of recovery in the region, and we believe this, coupled with our internal efforts, will enable a gradual turnaround in performance over the next few quarters. So in summary, we remain confident in the growth prospects of both our domestic and international operations. While the global landscape remains uncertain and warrants a cautious approach, we have used this period of volatility to restructure and optimize our international businesses, ensuring that we are well positioned to respond swiftly when the opportunities emerge. Before I conclude, I'm pleased to share some important updates regarding shareholder returns. The Board of Directors has recommended a dividend of ₹7 per equity share, including a final dividend of ₹1 per equity share, or face value ₹10, representing a 70% payout for FY 2024-25, reflecting our continued commitment to delivering value to our shareholders. Additionally, the Board has approved a bonus issue subject to shareholder and regulatory approvals. The proposed bonus is in the ratio of 1-to-1, meaning one bonus equity share of ₹10 each will be issued for every one fully paid up equity share held. This move underscores our confidence in the company's growth trajectory and our intent to reward shareholders for their continued support. With this, now I would like to hand over to Arasu for his comments.
Thank you, Jim. I am pleased to share that we delivered a 26% revenue growth on a standalone basis for the fourth quarter and on a 11% growth for the full year. This strong performance was largely driven by our focus on the Indian market, a strategic shift we initiated a few years ago, and one that is now yielding tangible, sustained results. Historically, IFGL's standalone business was heavily export-oriented, with around 60 to 70% of revenue coming from overseas markets. However, recognizing the immense potential of India as the world's fastest growing steel and infrastructure economy, we made a deliberate and prudent decision to realign our strategy and invest more aggressively in domestic opportunities. Today, we feel proud to share that our domestic standalone business grew by 27% this quarter and 20% for the full year. Over the past few years, we have consistently delivered 20% plus year-on-year growth in this segment. As a result, our domestic business now contributes over 70% of our standalone revenue, a complete reversal from where we were just a few years ago. Exports now account for approximately 28 to 30%. And we continue to serve our global customers with the same commitment, but from a more diversified, balanced base. We entered the non-ferrous refractory segment, a move we believe holds immense promise for the future. This was not a tactical shift, but a well-planned strategic expansion aimed at diversifying our product portfolio as a measure of spreading risk. We are also actively exploring new opportunities in cement, glass, coke, and other non-ferrous refractory applications, which are expected to become important contributors to our future growth. We are currently working on a technology transfer from our Sheffield refractories operations, particularly in the iron segment, to our Indian facilities. We expect this technology transfer to be completed by this first quarter, which will enhance our product capabilities and cost efficiency in India. A major milestone was the formation of joint venture in December. This JV will allow us to enter and scale rapidly in high potential sectors such as cement, glass, non-ferrous metals, and coal gasification industry. The estimated project cost is 300 crore. We have already acquired land in Bachau, which is in Kutch district of Gujarat, which is a critical step towards long-term expansion strategy. The development work is currently underway in the newly acquired land. In the ferrous segment, we continue to maintain strong traction, securing orders from leading steel majors and mills. Our research center plays a critical role in the development of high-performance refractory products, with ongoing technology transfer from our United Kingdom subsidiary in Sheffield Refractories, enriching our product pipeline. Our refractory recycling program is also something which we are focusing on, which the key driver of circular economy. This is also aligned with global environmental priorities and aims to significantly reduce input costs and improve margins. Moving forward, we made meaningful progress in expanding our manufacturing capabilities and backward integration with the following developments. We commissioned and stabilized our alumina product line and fully commissioned a state-of-the-art continuous casting flux plant in Visakhapatnam, operationalized a new tar impregnation plant at our Kalunga unit, secured government approvals for land at Khurda, Odisha, where establishment of a manufacturing facility for producing DBM bricks. So, while we continue to strengthen and scale in our four-decade-old ferrous business, we are also laying the foundation in the non-ferrous segment, which we believe has tremendous headroom for growth in the years to come. Our domestic strategy continues to deliver strong results, and we believe that our disciplined execution, diversified product portfolio, and investment in people and technology will continue to be our biggest strength in navigating the road ahead, both in India and globally. With this, I hand over to Mr. Amit Agarwal, our CFO, for financial performance.
Thank you, sir. Let me just give you a brief on the financials. Starting with the standalone financial highlights, total income in Q4 for FY25 stood at 273 crore, registering a strong 26% year-on-year growth. For full year, we delivered our highest ever total income of rupees 1014 crore, making an 11% increase over FY24. EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 40.5 crore, reflecting a 7% year-on-year growth. For full year, EBITDA stood at rupees 140 crore. EBITDA margin were 14.8% for quarter four and 13.8% for the full year. Profit after tax came at rupees 16.9 crore in quarter four, an increase of 9% year-on-year. For FY 2025, PAT was at 57.6 crore. Breaking it down further by geography, our domestic business recorded a robust 27% year-on-year growth in FY 2025 quarter four, and a 20% increase for the full year, reaching rupees 721 crore. The domestic market now contributes 72% of our standalone revenue in FY 2025, up from 67% in FY 2024. Our export business delivered a 36% growth in quarter four FY 2025, indicating some early signs of recovery in select markets. However, on full year basis, export declined by 6%, totaling rupees 277 crore, largely due to economic slowdown and demand compression across key overseas markets. As a result, export contributed 29% to our standalone revenue in FY 2025, down from 33% of last year. Let me move forward to consolidated financial highlights. Our consolidated financial highlights also include our international subsidiaries. Total income for quarter four FY 2025 grew by 13% year-on-year, reaching rupees 452 crore. For the full year FY 2025, our total income stood at 1,670 crore, reflecting a modest 1% growth amid a globally challenging environment. Our EBITDA came at rupees 37 crore for the quarter, and for the full year, EBITDA stood at rupees 146 crore. EBITDA margin were 8.2% in quarter four and 8.7% margin for FY 2025. Profit after tax stood at rupees 8 crore for quarter four and rupees 43 crore for full year. With respect to liquidity position, we had a debt of 34.4 crore with a strong balance sheet. Cash and cash equivalents stood at 168 crore on the consolidated basis as on March 2025. Our ROC stood at 6.3% and ROE at 3.9%. With this, I shall now leave the floor open for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Many congratulations for the growth that you've delivered on the standalone business. I just wanted some bit of more details on what has been the driver for this growth. I mean, I understand it's coming largely from the domestic market, but is it all the existing products, or is it some contribution from the new products? Which were these products, and is it because of some of the new capacities set up? Steel plants, is there where we had new, you know, dispatches going? Some bit of more details on this growth, sir, and how sustainable is this?
Yeah. See, it is basically, if you look at our Visakhapatnam works, we have ramped up. I mean, the Magnesia Carbon Brick business, which was not there earlier, now we started that. And also, we have acquired new customers where TTM. I mean, earlier it used to be nine, 10 sites, now it has become 17. So it is basically a growth in, you know, our iron and steel sector, which is a strong sector for us, as well as now we started, FY 2024, if you look at, there was no sales from non, you know, ferrous sector. And this year we have, you know, close to 8 crore-10 crore we have done as a new, which are all seeds of future growth. So it is both entry into the new with a modest way, which also added, and our ramping up of by Visakhapatnam plant in both brick business as well as some of our existing product multiplication of customers for additional revenue. These are the three major drivers which helped us in securing 11% growth on annual basis. Have I what answered your question?
Yes, sir. Just a bit more follow-up on that. So, sir, non-ferrous side, which are these products that we are selling on the non-ferrous side?
Now, right now, the non-ferrous side, the products are alumina monolithics and alumina bricks, which we, alumina bricks was something new FY25 IFGL entered into.
Right, sir. Right, sir. And can you give a rough number as to all the new products that we've started in FY25? What kind of revenue it might have contributed? Maybe a percentage or some understanding on how the new products are shaping up.
So I'll have to dig into the details. Alumina bricks and monolithics in non-ferrous sector, roughly as I was mentioning, around 10 crore. And then other product and the enhancement of the business is existing. I need to take the exact numbers.
And about the sir, magnesia carbon bricks and mold flux powder, I think that how well are they contributing, sir? Or will they ramp up now?
So, for example, we were doing no brick business in the earlier, but after July, up to I think after August 24, we started supplying around 410 per month, something like that, you know. So,
right.
410, correct. So that right. These are the thing. And casting flux, yes, they are just on the level of now only 410 month level, but we have the potential to go up to 1500. But it is still on ramp up. And it has got its own business development cycle because it is most critical operation in the customer end, which directly affects their final product quality. So consciously we have taken, and some of the initial success have already come, and we are expecting a ramp up a little faster than what has happened in FY25 in coming years.
Interesting, sir. That's very good effort from your side, sir. Last question from my side, sir, is that what is your target for capex in FY26 and 27? The the magnitude, if you can indicate how much you'll spend.
We have roughly calculated the cash outflow is expected to be something close to 55 crore. Though we will take up a capex of close to 90 crore, which will spill into FY27 also. This is on the regular capex, what I mentioned in existing plants. You know, continuously there has to be quality enhancement, productivity enhancement of the existing product line. Okay, this is first one.
Okay.
And but naturally the greenfield project which we have already planned for Kurda project, so which will also come. So I think I would ask Amit to give a kind of a cash flow we are estimating for FY26 on new project.
No, Kurda will be spending around 40 to 50 crore this year, and the rest will be spent in the next year.
Following year.
And
so, okay. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, Amit, sir. Please complete.
No. And some additional fund will be, diverted to the JV, which we have just started working on it.
So roughly 100 to 150 crore will be the capex roughly for FY26 in total?
Roughly, correct.
Yeah.
And similar number will continue for 27?
More or less.
Slightly more, because in Kurda we will be spending more than 50. Because that time, almost our activity will be at the peak in FY27.
Got it. Thank you very much, and I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mayank from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, what about this working capital thing? This year we have seen very sharp increase in working capital. Could you just throw some light on that, on how it could be in 2024?
No, it's because of the, you know, some stock we have built up strategically, and we have, you know, new operation added by the operation. So there are some stock and some amount of stock which we have received a bit early than expected. So this had added to the increase in the working capital, but I think this is a temporary one and we'll work on it to reduce it further.
Reduce it further to the earlier number?
At the earlier level. So as we are on the ramp up, this has happened.
Okay, so this is related to which plant? Visakhapatnam?
Yeah. This Visakhapatnam, we have, you know, added two lines. Then in Rourkela we have received some stock early. Then this quarter we have, you know, increased sales also. So these all have added to it.
Okay. And sir, on this foundry business of in the Hoffman, what is the view? Because one of the competitors has given very negative outlook on the foundry businesses.
Yes, as negative. I mean, as I said in the and the speech there, you know, that we feel that we'll get some new products that we've been working on that could bring us some nice areas. However, with the change in government and especially in Germany, we believe that, especially in the infrastructure investment and also in the military investment announced by the German government, that this could be positive for us. Because obviously foundries are involved in these areas. So hopefully we will start to see some turnaround. But, you know, we had a very good month in April, but obviously that's for next year. But generally speaking, it's a fair statement that the competitor has made. It's a very difficult position in foundry and has been through the whole of last year.
And you expect this to improve next year?
I wish I had a crystal ball and I could tell you. We believe that there are positive statements made by the German government that could be positive for the foundry industry. We have to see if they come to fruition and whether the rest of Europe follows suit and invests in a similar fashion. And if they do, then we believe this could be positive. But obviously, that's for governments to decide.
Okay. And sir, on this dead burn brick, magnesite bricks, and of course the cement bricks in which you are getting, you are doing expansion. What is our strategy to counter the Chinese competition? Like, at what pricing we will be selling those? Anything you can highlight on that front?
You see, there are two projects what you mentioned. So I would say we are going to be in a market where number of players are going to be maximum three, and we become one among three. So we will have a better negotiating abilities in this market, and we are also very, very bullish about the profitability of this product. You know, that's what we can explain now for time being, but as we move closer to fructification of the project, we will come out with further details. But otherwise, this is not going to be a market where it is crowded like other commodities.
So dead burn brick is a market of almost 500 crore is what, is it?
No, come again, not clear.
What is the size of market size of dead burn bricks in India?
See, that the whatever dead burn bricks what I mentioned is like it's like almost the capacity of the plant, what we are now looking, you know, our project capacity, that exactly the same number is available as a market potential right now. By the time we reach the commissioning of the plant, the growth and other things which are projected, we are going to have double the potential of that our plant. So right now, these are the, you know, things like, for example, our plant is going to be 21,000 tons, so the market potential by that time will be double this, 44,000 tons. So we have double the market as a potential for us to enter when our plant is going to be ready. So it is well-established market, and then and we have a tremendous opportunity there.
So you are saying only two or three players will be there in this?
Oh, in this will be almost, including us, it will be two players and a very meager.
I think for me, you know, anytime that you start to talk about detail like that, it's not a good thing. You know, really here we are talking about a market which we have identified as a highly concentrated market. Normally in a highly concentrated market, you can expect pricing to be much better. You can expect the capability of the supplier to have a stronger capability than the buyer. There are a number of positives that we've identified in moving into this market, and I think that's enough said. We don't want to go into too much detail here.
Okay. Lastly, on the raw material prices movement, like this margin in the Q4 that you're seeing, has it stabilized or there is more to be seen because of the recent price upward movement that we are seeing in again in the alumina as well as in the fused magnesia and all?
So fused magnesia, as far as it concerned, you know, there are some power cost increase from the places where the source we are getting, so we are expecting that. But by that time, we are also expecting to cover it up with some kind of price increase from our customers, because as now it has become almost evident that customers are also aware of this. So yes, there will be some volatility on raw material side as we move forward, and we are hoping to cover it up by the major portion passing it on to customers.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. But to dwell upon, I mean, in your opening remarks, you said that you are transferring the technology for iron side of the business from Sheffield and entering into this non-ferrous. So in what side our competitive landscape or market opportunity, and how we are placed among the competitive player?
So you have talked about two markets which are distinctly different. One is iron side, another one is non-ferrous. So I will come
Correct.
To iron side first. So
yeah.
IFGL, historically, we are more concentrating, focusing on the large portion of value addition in any iron and steel making, which are actually at the end of value chain, which is in Tundish and the bottom of the ladle. So that is
Right.
our major, you know, concentration so far. And as I was explaining, with the brick plant in Visakhapatnam, we have now taken steps to enter inside the ladle through ladle lining, which is magnesia carbon brakes. And the one area where absolutely we were not there is iron. That is the blast furnace, when the hot metal is tapped outside and it runs
Correct.
Through the casting, you know, cast house. It is called cast of trough. You would have heard the word trough. The trough
yeah.
and cast house. The technology what we were talking about is on the cast house refractory, which is, you know, generally awarded in long terms, anywhere between 1 year and 3 year term. And it is, you know, given on rupees per ton of throughput of hot metal for 2 million, 3 million kind of, that's the kind of contract. But if you look at in India now, there are no many players. There are only two players who are actively involved in it. And many customers have expressed, you know, additional alternate vendors. And that's where we come with a very successful track record of doing this business in the UK, you know, with customers like Tata Steel, Suncor, British Steel, and many other customers, very well established over 3 decades. And we
okay.
come with credibility in such a manner that customers are aware of our the original technology providers' performance everywhere, and it is something like, when are you bringing this to India? It's like, I would say it's like a pull instead of push from our side. So that's why we are very bullish, but we want to take the preparations and other thing in such a manner that we go to the first contract with full confidence. So as far as the confidence is concerned, we are going to build it over, and the opening yes, I mean, will not be an issue. This is what on the iron side.
And sir, what is that, I mean, over a 3 year time frame, one has to look at, I mean, the opportunity?
In 3 years down the line, I think even there will be a lot of new blast furnaces also, where we will have opportunity from the beginning. I mean, we are anywhere looking at somewhere like 25 to 30 crore revenues through this product line.
Sorry, I missed. What number you said, sir?
Around, let's say, in 3 years down the line, especially it's around 25 to 30 crore.
Okay, okay. And then non-ferrous side, what is the opportunity?
Non-steel side, as we are talking about, you know, once when the project is, you know, ready, there the ramp-up will take place, which can go up to, as we have indicated earlier also, it's around 200 crore. And now we have just started.
Okay. And sir, if you can give a little more color on the JV, how that JV will play out and what is the strength of that JV will be?
This I have already mentioned in the previous question, like this JV will yield, you know, the position where, again, like Mr. McIntosh mentioned, it is also another concentrated market where only 3 players, including us, will be there. And we will have a better negotiating capability. And cement growth is also very bullish. Somewhere we are at 500 to 550 million ton cement producer in India. By coming 2930, this number is going to be 900 million. 900 to somewhere, you know, it's so that the market is growing faster, and the 3 players will be there, because that gives us a big opportunity for and headroom for growth.
Okay, great, sir. And sir, if I have to look back, I mean, say from 3 years perspective, how do we show our EBITDA margin, which was, of course, I mean, high double digit, where we said it is not sustainable now, but coming to mid single digit. So sustainable kind of a EBITDA margin, how do we think about it?
See, I mean, as I was telling, these 2 projects, you know, our conventional product mix, whatever we have, as we said, it's going to be around 14% is the guidance standalone. But these projects, The one project what we are talking about for non-ferrous cement and other market is expected to deliver not less than 20% on EBITDA margin, but whereas on the DBM brick, it is even will go as high as 29%-30%. So as we grow in our conventional product mix, plus addition of this high margin, I think our on a conservative basis, protecting 14%+ throughout in standalone basis is a clear possibility. Clear possibility.
Okay. And last question to our Material James, sir. Sir, how do we see, I mean, turnaround of, I mean, if we not, I mean, making substantial profit, but selling of the subsidiary?
Sorry, could you repeat? You seem to pick up, and I didn't have a complete question.
Sorry. My question is related to, I mean, all international subsidiary. When do we see a kind of one-year or two-year time frame, and what exactly is required to happen that?
Yeah, I mean, really, the we believe that we will see a significant shift in the American market. As I said, now, with the President Trump coming in, he, in his last term as president, created an excellent market condition in steel. Both of our businesses in the United States and Canada are obviously heavily invested in the steel industry. We believe a similar situation will occur. Already we see an improvement. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, are you on the line?
I seem to hear a ringing noise.
I'm there.
On the phone. Hello?
Sorry, I don't know what happened to... I'll reconnect, sir.
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Oh, right. That's a lot better now. No, as I was saying, we believe that America will be positive. So far, the beginning of next year has shown a very good situation for both of our American operations in terms of sales growth. And this is all of a result of our present customers increasing their output, which is very, very positive. We believe that the overall long term during the Trump presidency will be positive for domestic manufacturing and domestic steel. For the German industry, as I said earlier on, regarding the foundry, we hope that with the European changes and investment in infrastructure and arms manufacture, et cetera, we will see some positive developments in the foundry industry. But as the present call or the other caller had mentioned, the comments of the other competitors is absolutely true, and we also share that. It's a very difficult situation. With regard to the industry, we believe that our Hoffman operation has utilized the time in the downturn very well. The plant, infrastructure, everything in the company has done very well. We are ready to grow into any upturn in the industry which comes. With regard to the U.K. operations, the Sheffield Refractories has had a very strong year, especially in a very difficult marketplace. We believe that the assistance of the U.K. government in the operation of British Steel is a big positive for our, especially for our Sheffield operation. And this will result in, you know, a very positive effect on their profits this coming year. And we also have some new growth areas that we've been working on with Sheffield and our Monacon operation in the wider European markets, which look very positive. Monacon, as I mentioned in the speech, we had quite a significant management change, and you know, the focus that we had in developing IFGL, you know, 3 years ago when we were looking at research, we were looking at various developments in the company and improvements and how we were approaching our business, especially with regard to the domestic. We are now going through a very similar process in Monacon, especially in the technical and research side. We've had a major growth in personnel and focus on new product development, new market development, and you know, and our sales strategy is focused on growing our personnel and people worldwide. Already we're starting to see some very good signs from the point of view of trials, but we have to be realistic, and you know, this will take a couple of quarters before we see significant changes to the Monacon operation. But the most important thing is that the development that we have there in terms of the company will be long-term very positive, because it's bringing us more towards our core competence, which is in refractories, rather than other product areas that Monacon are working on in the past. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. The current participant has been disconnected. We'll move on
to
the next
question. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, we will move on to the next question. It's from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. A few questions from my side. So firstly, if the management team, you know, could kind of help us understand what kind of strategic role would Mr. Mihir Bajoria would be kind of playing post his appointment as the managing director. Just wanted to understand the level of involvement he may have in the Indian operations.
You know, as managing director, you know, Mihir Bajoria will perform the same function as I had during my tenure as managing director of the company. Obviously, from the domestic Indian side, we have a very strong team under Arasu, who's our CEO in India, and also a director. But below Arasu, we have a very strong executive team, and you know, this team is the team which creates the decision making and the focus for our operations. You know, we feel very strongly that you know, Mihir Bajoria will add to the legacy of the company and strongly support the focus that we have for the domestic growth.
Okay. Got it. Secondly, any specific, say, timeline as to when would, say, the commercial production for the JV we have with Marvel Group, you know, make a start, in which financial year, a specific H1, H2, anything of that sort?
FY 2029. It starts, you know, delivering in FY 2029.
FY 2029, the JV with Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, that means what? It will start somewhere in the September of 2028. So the H2 of September, October. So that's the time. Yeah, to start commissioning of the plant.
Okay, and the greenfield Odisha plant?
Almost in the similar time, it will parallelly run. So that also will come at the same time.
Okay, because I think we were of the opinion that it would kind of come in, say, maybe in FY28 or to the end of 27. I mean, I think the previous calls that we had, I think the indicator in...
Kurda project will be exactly on the same line what you mentioned, like end of 27 or, I mean, let me Q2 of FY28.
End of the quarter, FY28.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, has there been any sort of delays or this was something that you all had already expected this to, in terms of timelines?
No, I think this was always the timeline. You know, for me, the thing is that, you know, unfortunately, you know, plants take time to build and, you know, these are going to be big plants. I think that for me, the interesting thing from, especially as Arasu mentioned earlier, you know, when you look at Vijayapatnam, you know, we made the decisions to do the work that we have now completed in Vijayapatnam, what, 2 years ago. And already we, in the Vijayapatnam plant, Arasu, it's already number two in our operation in India, yeah?
Yes.
Which is very positive. So the good thing about both of these plants, correct me if I'm wrong, Arasu, but the good thing about both of these plants is once we have the plants completed and commissioned, the ramp-up in the business side, we believe, will be very strong and very, very fast.
You are absolutely right. Like what Mr. Harsh Shah mentioned, just now, so in FY28, we are going to start the Kurda plant, where almost from the same time, the same year, even though mid of the year we start, but we will be almost 35% of the capacity utilization in the year one, which is absolutely a tremendous one. The next year, we are expecting the capacity utilization ramp up much faster.
Okay, got it. So, meaning, say, before these two plants kind of, you know, come on stream, so is there a possibility that the standalone operations, right, till those two plants commence, can we grow at, say, somewhere around 15 to 20% CAGR in the standalone operations only?
Standalone operation, 20% growth year on year without these two projects or a complete possibility, and we have the plan for that.
Yes.
Okay, so basically then when you say standalone operation, so are we also including the refractories that are made in India and then exported? So we are including that also, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, got it. Got it. Okay. So then my related question then, what would be the utilization, overall utilization ballpark figure if you could give?
On what?
Plant
utilization.
See, plant, let's say, let me give you an idea. Let's see, refractories is a discrete product and line to line it differs. For example, one line for slide gate and its accessories, we are almost now 99% capacity utilization, where we have already taken up the expansion so that we don't miss out any future opportunities. And there are other areas like purging plug, where we are a leader, we are already almost like 90 plus. And other areas we are ramping up. So, and the unit of measures for all these products are differing from, you know, if it is ISO, we measure in terms of number of pieces, and slide gate, something is measured in pieces. So the overall number will always, percentage will be a misleading one, which we don't want to get into. But the real, you know, the profitable product line of our mix, they are all at, you know, in excess of 70 to 80% capacity utilization. Other things like, it is always a mix of product, you also understand that, you know, in a product where commodity type also we do like monolithics. There, the capacity utilization will be now from present level of around 25-30%, it will go up to 45-50% because we are also entering into you know, other areas. So it won't be prudent to give an overall number because the unit of measures and the discrete manufacturing of refractory will mislead us.
Got it. Okay. And one question on the JV with the Marvel Group. So if have you all decided how the accounting treatment would be? Would it be like a line-to-line consolidation or would it be just reflected above the PPT line item?
No, it will be line-to-line addition. We have mentioned in our policy. It's a subsidiary for us.
Okay. Got it. And last question from my side. So on the margin front, right, you did already mentioned previously that the two new projects that you have much better margin profile, right? So, I mean, if one has to take a 3 year, 4 year kind of perspective, is it a good kind of a case that we can take wherein the standalone EBITDA margins can be actually much higher than, say, 15%? Because 15%, if I look in Q4, we have already achieved, right? I mean, with scale coming in with better margin, I think 15%, is it not a bit less that you are guiding for right now?
No, you see, as I was mentioning, for utilization of the plant for economy of scale of various products like monolithic, which is absolutely commodity in nature, that will also grow in volume. So that will have a counter effect. That is why even when you are tripling your top line, you add up products which are very high margin, which counters your commodity volume increase, which will have a kind of an effect which will pull down. So, but in spite of pulling down from 20 to 35, 40, 50% capacity utilization of a commodity in nature, which is very critical for our overall growth, but we are adding sweetener. I would call these two products are sweetener on the top line. That is how even when you are growing 1.5, 2 times of the revenue where you are today, you never miss out on overall guidance on EBITDA. I think you are getting me.
Got it. Okay. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aryan Sharma from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, just a couple of questions. So, like, assuming that all our capacities are completely ramped up and all the capacities which we are coming up with also are ramped up, so what is the expected non-ferrous to ferrous mix in the future?
Let me tell you.
You can't even give that figure, Arasu. That's not an easy figure to give. There's too many products and too many lines.
Yeah.
And it's not actually any, there's no relevance to the business success or failure to that figure. I'm sorry.
Okay, sure. One international parent commentary suggests that there's a overcapacity situation in India currently. So at least in the iron and steel side, there's a complete overcapacity. So for the next, the current capacity will be able to cater to the next 10 years of demand, apparently, like 2035. So what do you think about the realizations going forward, given this overcapacity and plus the Chinese imports dumping of Chinese products of capacity in India?
Yeah, I think that, sorry Arasu, you probably want to answer this more fully, but for me it's quite funny because when I started as managing director of IFGL 4 years ago, there was already a lot of capacity in refractories in India. You know, and it was, you know, at that time we said, look, our strategy is to focus on certain product lines and not necessarily to be the biggest, but to focus on being the best and to focus on segments that we believe that we can market and do well in. And I think that IFGL has proven through the success of our domestic strategy under Arasu, I mean, especially in, you know, if I look at the fact that in the standalone business and the domestic business,
has grown like almost triple from what it was when I joined the company. And you know, the percentage of it as a comparison to the full business of IFGL India is a massive turnaround. It's really, I think, a great testament to the people and the team in India and the work that they have done. And you know, I certainly have every confidence that we can continue that growth.
Okay. Thank you for answering my question, sir. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Sorry, my line got dropped and I have listened the answer, so my question has been thoroughly answered. Thank you.
Oh, I'm pleased. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today's conference call. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Okay. I mean, I hope we have been able to answer most of your queries. We look forward to your participation in the next call. For any queries, you may contact SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.